welcome to Ask the Mayor on WBAA. I'm Stan Jastrzebski.
And I'm Emily Seiberg.
Thanks for being with us on the program this week. Our guest is Frankfort Mayor Chris McBarnes, talking to us from his office in Frankfort. We'd love to have your questions during the show today. Call those in to 496-1999, email ask@wbaa.org, and you can tweet your questions at WBAA News on Twitter. Mr. Mayor, good afternoon. Good to talk to you.
Stan, great to be with both you and Emily today. Obviously, Emily adds a lot more talent onto the show than if it were just you and I, because Stan and I, we barely get by. So, Emily, great to have you.
I'm so pleased to be here, Mayor. Thanks for having me along today.
Yeah, no question about that assessment from this end either. So, let's start. Obviously, the biggest conversation in your community, which we'll get to in just a moment, is the future of the Humane Society and the fiscal issues it's brought to light. I want to get to those in a moment, but I also want to give people a moment to call in their questions that they may have about that. We know there are a lot of people in Frankfort who are talking about this right now. Again, the phone number is 765-496-1999. You can email ask@wbaa.org. I wanted to mention one other thing, actually, that came up at the same meeting a few weeks ago where people got all up in arms about the Humane Society, and that was talking about the future of the city's golf course. It seems like there was some discussion about the company that runs the course for the city wanting to change the fee structure a little bit. Can you fill us in on that discussion?
Well, I was overwhelmed by the amount of positive feedback and just really an outcry from the community that night, just as much as the Humane Society situation, that people wanted their golf course to be alive and well here in the city. I would say we at least had 12 or 15 people stand before the council in the latter part of the meeting and speak in favor of the golf course, the job that Oliphant Golf Management has done for the Frankfort Commons, and their desire to retain and maintain this amenity in the community, which ended up resulting in a 6-1 vote of the council to continue to fund our golf course. What Oliphant has found over the past 3 years, and it was no shock to me, although I do want to see things start to plateau a little bit, is really the dramatic loss that they've taken as managers. And how our agreement is set up, we pay Oliphant Golf Management an annual contract. Right now it's $70,000 to manage the golf course. We, as a city, also take care of lease payments for our golf carts and our grounds equipment, but then everything else is on Oliphant. Chemical application, daily labor, supplying the pro shop, the snack bar, and so at that point in time, they assume all the risk, even with that subsidy. And they've lost money hand over fist, and it hasn't been their fault. It has been a couple things. Number one, when we took this golf course over 3 years ago, the golf course was in horrendous condition. It was just in very, very poor condition. We lost a lot of consumers. We lost many golfers. Our rounds were way, way, way down. Now, over the past 3 years, we've seen a steady incline, but it's still not where we need it to be. This year, I project we'll play about 9,500 rounds. This golf season, we really need to get that to 15,000 or 16,000 rounds. Now, our course conditions today are wonderful. Our greens are wonderful. Our bunkers, our tee boxes, our fairways, they're aerified. The rough is in great shape. So I invite people who haven't played our course in a while, come and play it. Bring your senior group. Bring your club. You will not be disappointed. But we did. We had to flex that management amount up to $150,000 next year. Now, to keep that in comparison with other city amenities, now it's about getting to the point where it costs as much to run our golf course as it does our TPA swimming pool. So next year is really going to be critical. Next year we've got to get our rounds up. We've got to get costs under control for people like Oliphant so we can continue to support this amenity. I don't want to give it up. I think it's very important for Frankfort. We can't give anyone a reason to move away from here. It's got to be the exact opposite. This feeds the Wesley Manor. It's in the middle of our city. Much of it's in a floodplain, so you couldn't do much else with it. It's a part of the TPA park, and it's a part of the historical fabric of our community. So we did plug that into our edit budget. We have a balanced edit budget. We have a balanced city general budget. Our city councilman decided that, hey, yes, this is necessary. They funded it in a 6-1 vote, so we move on to next year and hope for the best.
when that comes up, when next year rolls around, if the numbers do not get to where you need them to be, is it the case where you think you would maybe sell off this entity and it would continue to be a golf course? Or I look at what happened here in Lafayette 5-6 years ago, where they just wound up closing the city's golf course, which, like yours, was in a floodplain, and they were having some issues with it whenever the Wabash River would overtop its banks. What do you think would be the outcome if you cannot make it financially sustainable?
Well, it's going to be a slippery situation. My biggest fear there would be someone coming in, lowballing a price, coming in, taking over control, and then the golf course just simply reverting back to the condition it was 4 or 5 years ago. Now, we might have to look at that. We'll see. But, you know, with the course conditions and with our rounds every year are growing. They're not growing at staggering rates, but they are growing. We're going to talk to the management firm about upping the programming next year. I want to see a men's league. I want to see a women's league. I want to see a more stable youth program. I want to see more rounds being driven to that golf course through a good, structured marketing approach and campaign. And hopefully with the conditions, paired with the service, paired with a bolstered marketing approach, we can get those rounds up. Maybe we can rein that 150 number back in a little bit, because if we didn't go this route, just so citizens know, if we didn't go this route and we couldn't sell it, we would then have to hire employees. I'd have to hire a greens crew superintendent. I would have to hire a pro. I would have to offer them insurance. We would have to have part-time help. And that 150 number would be peanuts in comparison to funding all that. So this is the cheapest way, the most cost-efficient way for our community to have a wonderful amenity. And as I'm sitting here with you this time next year, hopefully we're able to talk about increased rounds, which will mitigate our cost to the management firm and make it financially stable moving forward.
You're listening to Ask the Mayor on WBAA. Thanks for joining us. I'm here with Stan Jastrzebski. I'm Emily Seiberg, and we're speaking with Frankfort Mayor Chris McBarnes. Please call in your questions for the mayor at 496-1999. You can also email ask@wbaa.org. or tweet a question at WBAA News on Twitter. Mayor, now let's talk about the ongoing situation with the Clinton County Humane Society. We've been reporting on this, of course, here at WBAA. I'd like to go back to the beginning a bit and talk about the origins of this trap, neuter, release program. It was started because of a feral cat program. People were contacting the Humane Society, contacting the mayor's office to express their concerns about this issue. Can you talk about what groundwork was laid in that first year for how this program would operate?
Absolutely. So, you know, I, as mayor, I get a lot of calls about a lot of different issues. And what seems like a small issue to me is a large issue to someone else. So I try to take all the complaints, all the suggestions to heart. And one thing, you know, I do a monthly radio show here in town. Obviously, people call my office every day. And one consistent complaint I received were feral cat issues throughout the community. And I'll never forget it. It started on Meredith Street, and that's kind of in the south central portion of the community. It started on Meredith Street, and I got more and more and more and more calls. So, you know, I'm thinking, what can I do to help this problem? And the one resource that I thought it would be logical to reach out to was our Humane Society. At the time, just to provide a little bit of a civics lesson here and give us a base for our discussion, that was a not-for-profit 501c3 board. It operates independently, according to the state of Indiana and our Secretary of State. Funded mostly by Clinton County government. They fund around $100,000 a year for overhead costs at the Humane Society so our community can have animal control. At that time, the city of Frankfort didn't put a penny towards any operation at the Humane Society. But at the time, I met with then-director Jim Tate and the board president at the time, and we talked about options. And they presented to the city a trap, neuter, and release option where live cages would be bought. These cages would be put in specific areas of the city where we were receiving the most complaints. Cats would be trapped in a live, humane fashion. They would be taken to the Humane Society. They would be neutered or spayed, and then they would be released back into that same area so other cats didn't come in and create dominance over that particular area. And over time, they believed this situation would become better. So, gosh, that was back in 2015, the budget process of 2015. And so the council agreed it was something we wanted to look at, and we started funding that program and that program solely. And so every year, and this still occurred this year, we would get invoices from the Humane Society within the designated amount that the city council budgeted during the budget process, and we would pay out that invoice. Now, I will tell you, I don't get the calls about the feral cat issues that I once did. I can't remember that I got a call about a feral cat issue. So based upon that, because people do call me if there are problems, I would have to say that the situation has been bettered.
Mayor, I'm so sorry. Were other TNR programs researched? Do you have any sense of were we looking to other programs and saying these are best practices that we can abide by as we're setting this up? And I'm kind of asking this because it doesn't feel like perhaps best practices have been maintained since, if that makes sense.
Well, in terms of the TNR, it was brought to our attention at the time. It wasn't a brainchild, I believe, of the Humane Society. This was something that was done in other areas. And if you look at how to control that population, it makes sense. You live trap a cat, you spay or neuter it, you put that cat back in that area so other cats don't come in and create dominance over that area. I mean, it made sense. And I can say it again, it's worked. Now, what has fallen apart over the past several weeks has been the lack of transparency and the lack of accountability, which is a shame because, again, I believe the program was effective. I can say that. If it would not have been effective, citizens would have continued to call and say, hey, Chris, we still have this problem in our neighborhood. You need to do something different. But it was meeting a need that I was hearing at the time, and it is controlled to this day.
So you started with $10,000, and then you doubled that amount the following years. How did you establish, or how did the Humane Society establish the $10,000 was the amount to start with, and then how was it established that it needed to be doubled in subsequent years? What were you looking at?
Well, the first year, the traps were bought, so there were some overhead costs there, and we ballparked the number of spays or neuters that would have to be accomplished. And so it necessarily wasn't a scientific number. It was a number that we thought would handle the problem in year one and give us a better feel for how big of an issue this actually was. And if we ran into a situation where we needed more, we could go back before the council in a public, transparent manner, and an additional appropriation would occur. What we found was there was a big need for this. There was dozens of these cats that did need to be spayed and neutered, so the council decided in the subsequent year to bump that up a little bit. But again, you know, I judge the control of issues by the calls I get, by people approaching me on the street, because believe me, they do find me if there's a problem. And this has been one problem that has subsided. But I'll hearken back to my brief comments, and we can dig into this a little bit more. The lack of accountability and the lack of transparency is now incredibly concerning to me. And moving forward, I am not in a position to support any claim being processed by the city for the trap, neuter, and release program until we're given the assurance that there is going to be accountability, there is going to be transparency with this new administration and the new director. And you've had several board members leave, so it's essentially there's going to be new dynamics on that board. And we have to understand now, moving forward, what this new chapter will look like, how there will be that transparency and accountability. And until that happens, I'm not going to approve another cent
Let's talk about that for a second. You said you ballparked $10,000 and then $20,000. And talking about the transparency and talking about trying to figure out how all of these numbers came to be, what we'd like to talk a little bit about, and I suspect you would too, is the idea of documentation, how to figure out what costs what, where the dollars are being spent. Emily did a story recently where she talked to the current board president, Nancy Elsey, whose explanation to us was, well, can you say where every penny is going at the county highway department? And our supposition was, well, probably there's an accounting process in place somewhere, right? But at the same time, we don't actually know what those accounting practices are. Can you shed some light on how each penny is maintained in each line item?
Absolutely. If you ask me where money has gone in my street department, I could provide you a broken down itemized list today. And that's any department citywide. And when you're dealing with taxpayers' money, and let's keep in mind here, you know, the city provides $20,000 for TNR. Clinton County government, the county taxpayers, provide close to $100,000 for daily operations here. And then you have donors that are giving their hard-earned money. You're a 501c3. You should have accounting practices in place to be accountable for how those dollars are being spent. Could I do that for every department in the city? Absolutely. And I can't speak for the county highway department, but I'm guessing that Kevin Myers could do the same thing.
On Monday night, what documentation do you know that the Humane Society will be specifically providing as evidence of how they've spent this money? What are you looking for?
I'm not sure what they're going to present. I will tell you that the Board of Works and I issued a letter yesterday because every dollar is important and accountability is important. And although this TNR program, and I'll stand by this, I do believe it's been successful in the past years, and I appreciate the former director's work and the employees' work on this because they did a good job. I don't get the calls that I once got. But we issued a letter yesterday. I have received documentation itemizing all of the spaying and neutering that has been done as a part of this program, as I understand it, with the documentation I have, starting January 11th of this year through the middle part of July. And those costs, according to this documentation, added up to be $2,275. So $10,000 was allotted for the first half of the year for this program. So I have issued a letter to the Humane Society. I've sent this to their board attorney and CC'd Mr. Pfeffer and Nancy Elsey on this as well, and have cordially asked for the city to be refunded $7,725.
Do you think you'll get it back?
Well, we're going to try our hardest to, and I think it behooves the Humane Society to do this. I think this is their opportunity to show donors, to show the taxpayers that support this program, and it's a vital program. I love our Humane Society and I love the mission, but it's their opportunity to show people, you know what, we're going to do what's right here. We're going to refund this money. We're going to get with the city. We're going to be open and transparent and accountable with the public. And I think, you know what? I think it would be a great first step for them to start to rebuild the credibility that they will certainly need moving forward in garnering further donations for their cause.
Do you get the sense that they know where to find that money? Because we have heard from people that, and we've seen even a copy of the Humane Society budget that only has $3,500 in it for the trap neuter release program. We've been told that the rest of it went into the general fund of the Humane Society somewhere. So do you think that they have the wherewithal to find that money, even if they want to give it back to the city, that they can extract it and say, this is the right amount, or this is an amount that we can figure out how to account for properly?
As a board, it's their responsibility to make this situation right. It's our responsibility as a city to be good stewards of the taxpayers' dollars. And we have processes that we put in place. Are the processes perfect? No. Can we always get better? You bet your bottom dollar. We can always get better, and we have surely learned from this situation. We have MPOs come before our council and our administration every year to make a case for their funds. And whether or not the situation with the director, the former director, would have occurred, ironically enough, the Humane Society was slated to come before our city council that night to talk about this year's program and to talk about the program moving forward and to try to justify to the council why those dollars were important. But here's what I'm very concerned about, and I appreciate Emily's reporting because it brought this to light. That night in the main hallway of Old Stoney with around 250 to 300 people, I asked the question because it had been alleged that I had given permission to the Humane Society to just use these dollars willy-nilly throughout the entire Humane Society and their operating budget. So I asked the question because I knew the answer before I asked it. I said, had I ever given you permission to utilize this money in any other such way other than what the council deemed it for, and that's the Trap, Neuter, and Release program? And the answer was no from the board president that night. The answer was no in front of 275 witnesses. But then yet I get online yesterday and I read in the story when asked, you know, was this money sprinkled throughout the rest of the operating budget? And then the answer had changed. Then they said, yes, it has. Well, that wasn't our agreement. So if that's the case, I have documentation showing what I believe the costs were with the TNR program this year. I've issued a letter requesting a refund. I provided my documentation as proof. It is now up to their board to do the right thing and refund the taxpayers of the city of Frankfort this money. Now, on Monday night, if more documentation can be presented that offsets what I have, I guess I'll have to take that into consideration. I'll question the timing of it, but I'll take that into consideration. But as it sits right now, I believe the taxpayers of Frankfort are owed $7,725, and I'll stand beside that, and we'll continue to fight for it and hope for the best.
This is Ask the Mayor on WBAA. We're talking today with Frankfort Mayor Chris McBarnes. You can call in questions for another couple minutes at 496-1999. Send emails to ask@wbaa.org or tweet questions at WBAA News on Twitter.
Mayor, when I went to the last city council meeting, I talked with Councilman Jim Moyer, who is quoted in my story as kind of saying essentially that perhaps the city didn't do its due diligence, really. There's not enough oversight happening here, that the city is also at fault in this situation. How do you make sure that this doesn't happen again? How do you, going forward, what processes can you put in place to ensure that everyone is doing their due diligence on both the side of the city and of the Humane Society?
Well, you know, I'll tell you what. I love Mr. Moyer. I have worked very closely with Mr. Moyer for the past 7 years, and I read that statement, and I just simply take exception with it. I don't agree with it. We work very, very hard, and if you come to our budget hearings, and those are public meetings, I work very hard to line those NPOs up to come before our council on an annual basis to be accountable for what they are doing, for every single dollar. If someone is doing something behind the scenes and you're acting in goodwill and you have that process in place for them to come forward and you keep those lines of open communication, but behind the scenes they're doing something unbeknownst and they're kind of duping individuals, you know, that's human nature, and I don't know how you can completely control that. But I'll tell you one thing that I have learned from this process, that moving forward, we're going to do this. And, you know, it's unfortunate. It's kind of like police officers in our society. You know, our police officers are wonderful individuals. I believe that. I think they do a fantastic job. They put their lives on the line. But you have one or two public safety officials in this country that make wrong decisions, and then it casts a dark shadow on everyone. I'm fearful that the same thing is going to happen with other NPOs in this community. I mean, we give to Frankfort Main Street on an annual basis. We give to the Paul Philippi Resource Center. We fund an after-school tutoring program with the Boys and Girls Club that I know is very effective for our youth.
Mr. Mayor, we only have a couple minutes left. Let me ask you a quick follow-up. This is not the first time we've talked to you on this program about where money is going. About a year ago, we talked about Joel Tatum, who was removed from his job as head of the Frankfort Parks Department. He was found to have been keeping money in a coffee can in his office, which obviously is not an acceptable accounting principle. There's at least a couple of instances here where there have been questions about how money is monitored that would be city money in some way or another. Doesn't it speak to the need for greater scrutiny?
Well, here's what I can tell you. That was a situation of an individual that was receiving donations in cash and sticking them in a coffee can in his desk. You know, without micro cameras in every room and monitoring someone 24/7, I don't know how you completely contain that. If you have any ideas, please let me know. We are very detail-oriented when it comes to our finances. We have a 5-year capital improvement plan, and here's what I'd be concerned about if I was a citizen. I'd be more concerned if these things came up and they were brushed under the rug. things are going to happen. Yes, we need to learn from this situation, and moving forward, I would like to put contracts in place with every MPO that we give funding to, so they are not only bound by the commitment in our budget, but they are bound by a contract of how that money is spent. I hate to do that, but I think it's a step that we need to move towards. But if people acting behind closed doors in untransparent manners are making decisions, you cannot control a human's activities and their actions 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. You can do all you can, but you can never completely close that window. So that's how I can say we're going to change things a little bit moving forward to hold that to a greater accountability. But I will not step aside from the fact that we put incredible financial scrutiny on the page in our city. When things are found, we meet them head on. We improve the situations. We don't hide them from people. We're transparent about it. We speak our mind about it. We make the situation better moving forward. And I think that's our obligation as leaders.
Do you feel the need to apply additional scrutiny to these other organizations you've mentioned who come to the city for money? Is this situation kind of creating a need to expand the scope to which you're looking into everything right now?
Yes, again, I will reiterate the fact that I think moving forward we need contracts between ourselves and the MPO that we are funding that gives us then a legal basis to go back on. Like my parallel to public safety officials in this country, it's so unfortunate that this one situation is going to cast perhaps a negative light on other MPOs in the community, because we have great not-for-profits in this community. But in light of this, I think we're going to have to take that additional legal step and continue the process that we've been carrying out ever since I've been mayor, and that's bringing these individuals before the council in an open public meeting, holding them accountable, justifying the dollars, and then monitoring things to make sure that these programs are implemented correctly.
We've been talking a lot about the possibility of an audit of the Humane Society. Would it be worth having someone go back and look at all of the agreements you've made with these nonprofit organizations, and indeed with anyone else that the city provides any funding to, and try to figure out if there has been any other such situation where questions could be raised about where the money went?
This is a pretty small town, and if something goes awry, you're going to hear about it through the grapevine. You know, I know the perception is going to be there, but our YMCA, our Boys and Girls Club, the Paul Philippi Resource Center, the Boys and Girls Club, I have no inkling of any misjustice when it comes to taxpayers' funds by any of these organizations. If it was there, we would have heard about it. We would have heard about it, and we would have dug into it just like we did with the park situation that you alluded to, and just like we're doing now with the Humane Society. Listen, this isn't a fun situation to go through. It's not at all, because you know these are people on the Humane Society board, good, bad, or indifferent. They're volunteers. They're not getting paid anything. You know, these are people we see every day walking down the street. But, you know, welcome to the NFL. Welcome to the big leagues. It's our job, now that we know about this situation, to make sure justice is served, the taxpayers receive back their funds that I believe they're owed. And I'll say it again, the Humane Society Board has the opportunity to do the right thing, and that's refund our city for the money that wasn't used for the TNR program that we all thought was going towards that program. So it's their opportunity to do the right thing, and I think it'd be a great first step in rebuilding credibility of donors and the taxpaying units in the county and the city for their mission going forward.
All right. Well, Mr. Mayor, thanks as always for your time. We appreciate it, and I'm sure we'll see you at the meeting on Monday night.
Folks, thank you. Have a great day.
This has been Ask the Mayor on WBAA. For Emily Seiberg, I'm Stan Jastrzebski. Remember that you can find this program archived at our website, WBAA.org. You can listen at the same time next week for our conversation with Crawfordsville Mayor Todd Barton. If you've got a question you'd like to get on that program, email it to ask@WBAA.org. Enjoy the rest of your day.
Support for WBAA comes from your membership and Encompass Credit Union, supporting Ask the Mayor and offering a full line of financial services to the people of Clinton and Tipton counties while supporting the communities they serve. More information at EncompassCU.org.